thankful for Jesus today. And certainly without Him, we would be destitute and we would be in trouble. I'm thankful for inspiration the Lord can give us, and I appreciate the Lord giving me inspiration in the beginning of the week when He does. It makes me feel better when it comes closer to Sunday, when I've had almost all week to meditate on something. But I just knew that the Lord had a message early on. I felt like the inspiration was about the abundant life that we could have with the Lord. I know there's been books that's been written about that, and there's been lots of inspirational things that's been said, but I'm going to tell you, where the rubber met the road for me today is I didn't feel like I had very much abundant life this week. I felt like I've met a lot of not so much physical opposition, but I felt like the devil has oppressed me and accused me, and I just have felt overcome. And I thought, well, Lord, I want to share what You have given me, but I know I can't tell everyone that this is how it happened for me this week, because I haven't felt very abundant. I've just felt kind of down in the mouth several days. I'm just going to be very frank with you. And as I began to meditate and to try to bring our thoughts together, I was just really struggling, and seemed like as I meditated on one of the passages that we'll read here, Lord willing, that seemed like the Lord helped us to kind of shift it a little bit into the contingencies of an abundant life. And I know all of us probably would be familiar with what a contingency is. It's a kind of like a prerequisite. It's something that has to be in place for us to realize something else. For me to be able to hold a job in our society today, one of the things that's a contingency is if I'm at least 18 years old. That's one of the legal restrictions of full-time employment, is you need to be 18 years old. So I want us to think about the things that are contingent for us of having an abundant life, or one thing in particular. I know abundance. We live in an age of abundance, of temporal things. I'm very thankful that I've never went to bed hungry. In fact, I've went to bed well fed every time that I wanted to be well fed. There's been some days I've went to bed in the evening and not just been really full, but it was my own choice. It wasn't because there wasn't food in the house or maybe something in the refrigerator that I could warm up and eat. It was my choice to go to bed a little bit underfed. So I'm thankful for the abundance of food. I remember hearing a story about a man that I was not real well acquainted. I knew who this person was. Been a long time ago now, but he was a man that had won, I guess this is the way you say it, he had won a lawsuit and received a very large sum of money from a large corporation. And it had happened a few years before I made his acquaintance, and he chose to live a life of abundance. And he had, not that he had such an elaborate estate he lived on, but He spent money on things that was important to him. And every time I heard this story about him, every time he would come in to the parts store to buy parts, they said he always paid with $100 bills. They didn't know what he'd done with his change, but whether he bought something that cost $10 or $90, he always pulled a $100 bill out of his pocket. And it was just, I don't know if he didn't keep the small change or, I don't know, but now how many of us here would feel like that would be a life of abundance? Whatever you bought, you'd always have to pull out a $100 bill. That'd be an abundance, wouldn't it? I don't have that problem, and probably most none of us here have that that type of abundance in your life. But I want you to know that there is a place of abundance in our experience with the Lord. And the Lord wants us to not just be able... Have you ever been in a situation where when you went to buy something, realized that you didn't have enough money or was hoping that you had enough money? I remember a situation of my own. This has been a while back when I was pretty young. I pulled into the gas station and I filled up my vehicle with gasoline and I reached in my pocket to pull out my wallet to pay. That's, you could fill up before you paid then. And when I reached in my wallet, in for my wallet in my pocket, my wallet wasn't there. It's like, what did I do? I wasn't in my hometown, and I wasn't in the town where I was working. This was my first job after high school. I'd stopped kind of midway, and these people didn't know me. I didn't have... Oh, and I thought, what am I going to do? Besides not knowing what happened to my wallet, I didn't... It was just such a sinking feeling of not being able to pay. I'd already pumped the gas. I mean, what do you do? Siphon it back out? I don't know. But anyway, that's more of that story, but I won't tell you today. But it's just a feeling of not having enough. You know, the devil wants us to feel like we don't have enough. He wants us, and life has a way. My week this week has not been one that I just felt like I met everything and had plenty of grace and patience and strength and courage and all of that. And I've got plenty more if another one comes. That's not the way my week went, all right? But I believe that the Lord has an experience where we can have an abundance of His Spirit dwelling in us. So I'd like to begin in looking in the Scripture in Exodus, the 34th chapter, and beginning in verse 6. He says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" You know, the Lord never runs out. He never gets short of goodness and truth. He never comes to a place that his an account that he holds the goodness and the truth is broke or bankrupt. There's always plenty in there. And if you can get this picture of someone paying for small things or big things with $100 bills all the time, you think about that's the kind of resources the Lord has when it comes to goodness and truth and graciousness and long-suffering and being merciful. The Lord has an abundance of all of those things for every one of us. And when we avail ourselves of His attributes, and when we have an experience with Him, then that's something that we can draw on. Anita and I have one personal checking account. And whatever gets put in there, if she writes a bigger check than I do, it's still covered. If she makes a withdrawal, a purchase or something, it's covered because it's our joint account. And when we have an experience with the Lord, we have a joint account with the Lord. And when we need, if we have a situation where there's some extra mercy that needs, it may not be in us. You know, there's times that I want to cut people off and cut things off. And there's a place in my own abilities and my thinking and all that I've done all the long suffering that I want to do. And when I really do what the Lord would have me to be, I have to realize I have to draw on that joint account. There has to be something that I can access, some resources that I don't have. The Lord has an abundant life for us that we can experience. There, we all face our trials. We all face our tests. We face those times, maybe you had a week like I had, where I feel like one thing, it led to something else that was discouraging, and I felt, I just felt depressed, you might say, over it. I'm not talking about clinical depression or anything. I just felt down about these kind of things. But right in the midst of that, I knew that the Lord has an abundant life for all of us. He has mercy. He has long-suffering. He has patience for us. He has goodness. He has truth for us. And it's not like something that He's got to ration out and say, okay, well, you had three allocations of grace this week, and that's all you get. No, that's not the way it is. If you need 10, then He's got that for you. There's an abundance, you see. That's what He is. That's what He exists of. And notice the next verse. He says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's the abundance of God's love, long-suffering, of His mercy, of His goodness. He has all that. That's how it happens. He says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Okay, now we've got a change of tone here. Well, by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children until the third and to the fourth generations. Now, if you ask me, I think we could have done without that last part. You know, I like the part of abundance, of having grace, of having mercy, of having peace. All of that for all of my difficulties in life. But He didn't stop there. The Lord is speaking here, and He said that not only is He keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that's all of the bad stuff, but He says here, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Now, you know what keeps us guilty? What keeps you guilty? Well, He said He would forgive sins. Yourself. If we don't confess and repent, we're still guilty. So there's a contingency on the liberation of guilt. He says, it will by no means clear the guilty. What keeps a soul guilty before God? I don't confess and repent. I ignore it. I want some more grace. I want some more peace. I want some more mercy. I want some more happiness. And the Lord has all of that for us. Every bit of it. And He don't just have an allowance of it. He has an abundance of it. And we can have it in our lives. And we can come to the end of our week realizing that we've been attacked by the enemy, realizing that we've met disappointment and discouraging things and rejection and all those things, and realize that, Lord, this is too much for me. I need some help. But you know, if we've got something we're guilty of, and we won't turn loose of that, and we feel justified in ourselves, it's self, you see. But when I come in myself and humble myself before the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me. This is something I don't want in my life. I want to turn loose of this thing. What happens? He has an abundance of mercy. But if I don't repent, if I don't say, Lord, forgive me of these kind of things, not only am I guilty, but he says it'll be visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children, even unto the third and the fourth generations. Did you know that we can witness that in our world around us? People that don't really make a change. They make a decision, but not a change. You know, there are religious groups out there today that want you to make a decision for Christ. It's going to take more than that of you changing your mind and deciding that trying to do good is the right thing. It's going to take more than that. You want to have an abundant life. You want to be able to have power with God. You're going to have to get rid of the guilt. You're going to have to be clear before the Lord. You may have a justifiable reason for holding what your feelings. Did you hear what I said? You may have a justifiable reason for holding the feelings or the attitudes that you have. You know, there's a lot of things that make sense to me that's not right. And one of those things is, if you punch me in the nose, it only makes sense that something ought to hit you in the nose. Now that makes perfect sense to me. You cause pain to me, then I think you ought to suffer pain. That's what my brain says. All right? But the Lord, if I harbor that in my heart, I become guilty of wanting revenge against someone. But what does the Lord say? Revenge belongs to Him, doesn't it? So I have to say, Lord, help me not to hold this. I want to surrender this to You. And when we do that and we ask the Lord to forgive us for holding some kind of bad feelings, bad attitudes or whatever, there's going to be something that comes from that joint account and gives me an abundance of grace during that time. And when somebody else gets hit in the nose, after they hit me in the nose, I can truly, genuinely be sorry that they're suffering. That's abundance of grace. That's abundance of mercy. It comes from a joint account. It didn't come out of my checking account because it's not in me. It's from it's the abundance of life that the Lord wants to give us. But I want us to realize there's a contingency here. I don't really want to be rich, but I want to be rich in the things of the Lord. I want to have the abundance of the Lord. I see the value of having the abundance of the God Spirit in my life every day. And I say, Lord, help me to be able to have that kind of abundance where when I feel I'm mistreated, that I can not just pretend it don't hurt me, but really avail myself of the abundance of God's grace and patience and mercy. And it'd be more, I'm going to tell you, if you just are pretending it don't hurt, and then when you get away from the situation, you're grumbling and complaining and telling everybody that listened to you how you was mistreated, you don't have the abundant life. And you won't get it until you truly surrender yourself before the Lord. It's contingent, you see. He's got it all for us, but we've got to be willing to not be guilty. We've got to do the things that clears our soul with the Lord. We can't be blaming God. We can't be blaming other people. We've got to be clear of that. Lord, help me. I don't want to be guilty. I want to have the abundant life. I'd like to turn now to St. John, the 10th chapter, and I'll notice here some words of Jesus. St. John, the 10th chapter, and we'll begin reading in the first verse. Verily, verily, Jesus saying here, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now I believe the people he was talking to understood what it meant to be a shepherd. They understood what it meant to be take care of sheep and their the techniques and the mannerism of a shepherd that was most beneficial. I believe that part made sense to them. But they weren't making the connection between that and the spiritual walk with the Lord. Now, I know that all of us here have a pretty good understanding of how to keep our checking account in the black ink. And, you know, some of you may be more conscientious than others, but we know that if you don't have money going in, you can't just continually take money out. We know how that works. There's a balance to it. But many times it's hard for us to understand how that we can have an abundance of spiritual blessings and spiritual life. It's hard for us to make the connection of what it takes to get that. So that's what I want us to really focus on. I want it. You know, it'd be nice to have a checking account that just whatever you wrote your check for, or the debit card you swiped, or whatever you did, that it was covered. You know, it'd be nice to be like that, we say. But it's even better for us to be able to act in a Christ-like manner in all points of our life. It's better. And I think all of us, the reason you're here is because you see value in that, and you'd like to have that. And we want to know, how do we get it? Well, I'm going to tell you one of the most essential things is we're going to have to be clear before the Lord ourselves. We don't have to get everything else in order and everybody else in line and making everybody else do what they're supposed to do. Lord, it's me. It's me. I want to have that abundance. I want to be graceful. I want to be courageous in the time of accusation. But I want to have the meekness that you want me to have. I want to have the fruits of the Spirit. I want to have an abundant. I want to be able to lay down at night and say, Lord, it's all yours. Help me not to worry at all. That's an abundant life, isn't it? Isn't that spiritual prosperity? And he's telling them here, here's the deal. If you enter at the door into the sheepfold, that's the only way to truly be part of the sheepfold, is to come in at the door. But if you climb over the fence and get in, then that's not the nature of a sheep, is it, to climb over a fence? I don't know much about sheep, but I don't think it is. So if you climb over, you might be inside the pen, but you're not really of the fold. All right? So we not only want to be in the pen with the other Christians, but we want to be one. And to get there, we're going to have to come in through the door. You remember in the story of Pilgrim's Progress, he told about a couple fellows that climbed over the wall. And when they climbed over the wall, they just immediately joined themselves with Christian and they started chatting and talking, and in the book, and their names was Formalist and Hypocrisy. And they came from a city or a country called Vainglory, I believe. And when they came along, Christian said, well, you're not supposed to climb over the wall. He said, you're supposed to come in at the gate down there. And they said, oh, well, listen, you know, where we come from, it's such a long ways to get to the gate that we found out that we can just climb over the wall and get in the way. And Christian said, but you don't have the scroll. You know, I've got this scroll that they give me on the for repenting. And he said, we've been doing this for 1,000 years. We've been doing this for 1,000 years, and I'm sure that it'll be okay. And Christian was very skeptical. And the guy kind of looked at his coat and he said, boy, you got a pretty nice coat on. He said, they probably give that to you too. He said, you was probably just had a bunch of rags. Oh, he said, I was. He said, I just clothed in rags. And he said, they so graciously give me this coat to wear. This is a gift from my Lord and my Savior. And he was wearing that, and he had his little scroll. And as they were going on through, walking along there, these men, they just were sure that they were confident that we've been doing this for generations, 1,000 years. That's a long time. And I know that when we come before the judge, I mean, any judge with common sense, that's my words now, would have to recognize that we've been doing this so long, you've just got to accept it. It's right. But it's not. It's not. It's not part of the contingency is we got to come in at the gate. We got to come in and get rid of the guilt on our own soul to be able to have the abundance of life. You know what happened? They came to a hill called Difficulty. And immediately they looked and they thought, well, there's got to be a better way. Just like climbing over the gate, over the fence. There's got to be a better way. One of them took the course of danger and the other one took the path of destruction. And neither one of them was heard of again, I don't believe. Lord, help us to realize there's an abundant life out there. And I'd like to toot the horn this morning and tell you that you can have it. It's for you. And there's no maximum withdrawal. You ever tried to draw a large sum of money out at a ATM? It won't let you. You have to do small amounts. You might have to make 8 or 10 withdrawals if you need a lot of money out of your account. But you can't go up there and ask for thousands of dollars in once. That's not the way it is with the Lord. You need more grace or patience than you have ever imagined in your life. It's there for you. It really is. There is an abundant life. But I'm going to tell you, it don't come if you got guilt hanging over you. You're not going to get it. It's contingent on that. Let's read some more. Seventh verse. Then said Jesus unto them again. So they didn't quite get it, so he says, maybe I'll do a little explanation. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. It's not like you're trapped in there. Once you come into the fold, you know, we sing a song sometimes. I go to wherever I want to and do whatever I please. Well, we can. If we're truly living for the Lord, we can go anywhere we want to. There's just a lot of places we don't want to go. I can do anything I want to, but you know, there's things I don't want to do now. And when we've been redeemed and we have the guilt off and we're living that abundant life, we don't want to do anything that jeopardizes that. We want our abundant life. We want our checks to clear. We want our debit card to work. We want it to be there for us when we need it. So we don't want any guilt on it. There's going to be places I'm not going to go. There's going to be things I don't say. There's going to be a constraint on my life. Because of why? Because I love my Lord and my Savior. And I want to be pleasing to Him. I want that abundance in my life. So he says here, I'm the door. If any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. What? That we might have life, and we might have it more abundantly. You know, there's a place that people get to sometimes that they're just existing. Physically. There are times that people have had debilitating things happen to them where maybe they can't walk, or they can't feed themselves, or there's things they can't do. Maybe they can't communicate any longer. And they're living, but we say today their quality of life is real low. And Jesus said, I came to give you what? Life, and they might have it, what? Not just barely exist, but that you might have it more abundantly. That you would be prosperous. That you would feel affluent. That you would realize that whatever the Lord has, you can avail yourself of it. Don't you want that? I do. I really do. I thank the Lord that the devil didn't get me this week. I thank the Lord that I can be clear before the Lord this morning. And I believe you can too. I believe we can be without guilt before God. But I want to tell you, don't just look on and say, oh, that's just for some people. It's not. No, it's for every one of us to have an abundant life with the Lord, today, this coming week, next weekend. We can have an abundant life with the Lord, but we can't do it if we've got guilt in our soul. I know there's some things that I need to make right with the Lord. I know there's something that I need to get clear. I need to get some old accounts settled. We sing about that too sometimes. We need to get some old accounts with the Lord settled. We need to get some things erased. You know what He promised? He won't remember them anymore. He'll cast them as far as the east is from the west. We can be guiltless before the Lord. And when we're in that position, we can anticipate having an abundant life. The mercy, the grace, the patience that we need. The 11th verse says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus has given his life for the sheep. You know, I think about the story in the Bible where Jesus stood up at the right hand of God. And Stephen was able to see that. Stephen was being stoned by people that had gnashed on him with their teeth. Do you remember what Stephen said? What did he say? Father, forgive them. You can't do that on your own account. You don't have that in yourself. But Stephen had a connection with the Lord that was guiltless. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And God allowed him to catch a vision of Jesus, the one that died for him, standing at the right hand of God. That's an abundant life. And you can have that type of experience. I'm not anticipating any of us being stoned. Maybe. You may feel like you're being stoned sometimes. You may, but can we say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Oh, want to be there. I want to have that kind of abundance of God's presence in my life. But I can't get there if I'm guilty. It's a contingency, see? True repentance, true confession is the only thing that'll bring us through that door into the fold. It's the thing that'll make us part of the fold, not just amongst the flock. You know, I don't know much about raising sheep and goats. Some of you might. I know that goats tend to eat weeds and things that maybe sheep wouldn't. I'm kind of going out on a limb on that a little bit. But I know many times shepherds will graze the flocks mixed together, sheep and goats. So there's going to be those right amongst the people of God that's not part of the fold. It's reality. But remember the scene of the judgment that Jesus gave us in another place? He separated the sheep from the goats. And I don't want to be just amongst the flock. I want to be one of the sheep. I want to have that abundant life. I want to have the power of God working in my life and in my experience. I'd like for us to look at a verse that was quoted as a memory verse. Lamentations, the third chapter. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. That means that He has enough compassion for every situation. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord has the resources to bring you to a place of contentment, a place of happiness, a place of peace, a place of being blessed of Him, right in the midst of being stoned. But we're not going to get there if we don't meet the contingencies. And then I would like for us to look at 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. In the 9th verse, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. This is the Apostle Paul being spoken to by his Savior, by our Lord and Savior. And he says, you know, if Jesus would say that to Paul, I believe it's for us today. My grace is sufficient for thee. There's plenty of it there. You don't have to worry about trying to stretch it and make it fit. There's plenty of it. It's sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength to enable you to have the peace of God in your heart in the midst of being stoned, in the midst of being persecuted and cast down and all of those things, it's good enough. There's enough there. You can avail yourself of the abundance of His power in your life. Lord, help us today. Let's look maybe at some words of song number 188. He says, I'm in the Lord's sacred pavilion. I rest in the holiest place. His kingdom and all its dominion I've found with abundance of grace. Oh, that's a beautiful place. You know, there's something about going to camp meeting, especially if you go a ways away from where you live, and you know that it's even better if your cell phones don't work there and things like that. You know, you're just away from all of the distresses of everyday life, and be under the pavilion maybe with others that are endeavoring to live for the Lord. He says, I'm in the Lord's sacred pavilion. I rest in the holiest place. His kingdom and all His dominion, everything that is part of God's kingdom is there. I've found with abundance of grace. He says in the second verse, I'm in the Lord's sacred pavilion where peace like a river doth flow. Is that, you want any of that? Just answer that for yourself today. Do you want the river of peace to flow in your life? I do. The last thing I want is the rocky bumps and in the shallow waters of drama and trauma in my life. I want the river of peace. I know what it's like to go down a little creek or a river in a canoe and get the shallow water and feel the gravel rubbing the bottom of the boat. I know what that's like. That's not the kind of peace I want. I want a river. I want something that's flowing. I want something that's moving. I want something that supports me. He says, where manna from heaven is given. Wafers and honey, that sound pretty good right now. Where joys are eternal, I know. Eternally, something that is will last. That's what he's talking about. Joys that will last, I know. That's the abundant life. He says, I'm in the Lord's sacred pavilion, thus sheltered securely from harm. With Him I have constant communion. I'm resting on His mighty arm. I want that too. I want that abundant life. How do we get it? There's some contingencies. And the one I want us to get a hold of today is I cannot be guilty. I cannot be harboring something that I know the Lord wants to forgive me for, that the Lord wants to fix in my heart. We can't have a shortcoming in our clarity before the Lord. If the Lord come today, what would He say? Would He say, guilty? Or would He say, come, thou blessed of my Father? The last verse of this song says, I'm in the Lord's sacred pavilion, where I would forever abide, though once far away, a lost alien. You know, we were all there. We were all a lost alien out there a long ways from the Lord. Though once far away, a lost alien, in Jesus I now can confide. How can you now can confide? Because you come in at the gate. You came in and you humbled yourself and say, Lord, I don't want to harbor those old feelings. I'm sorry for the things that I've done. I want you to clean this old man up. And when He forgive us and that we recognize we is clear before the Lord, it's just like we can just gorge ourselves on the abundant life. I believe the Lord is there to give each one of us an abundant life. One that you can have peace, a river of peace in the midst of your storm. I know I'm not the only one that has storms in their life. I know you do too. But I want to tell you, the Lord has a river of peace for you. Maybe we don't understand it all. There's things I don't understand in life too, but I know that I can have peace. I know it's in His account to give me a peace. I want to challenge us today. If there's something that's keeping you from being able to really cash in on the abundant life, I want to encourage you to take care of that today. Don't go from here today with guilt in your soul. You can have an abundant life. You pray for me.